member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Mick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 22nd of August, Anno Domini 2009, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Mick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, give us a call. The number is on the 585. Area code is 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Outside the 585 area code, of course, it's toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. Right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. But before we go to take any calls, let's talk about the news. This week's poll comes from a news story that had an interesting a little twist, I thought. A majority of college-bound students gearing up for school will not consider buying a Mac laptop, a study reveals. Instead, students are gravitating toward affordable netbooks from a variety of manufacturers, according to Retrievo, a consumer electronics website that conducted the study. Retrievo says Macs are at the bottom of student wish lists this year. While 49% of students will buy full-sized Windows laptops, 34% will purchase netbooks, bringing up the rear as Mac with only 17% of students saying they intend to buy one. The most affordable new Apple laptop seems to sell for $949 approximately. That's the white MacBook. Compared that to the 18% of survey participants who said they wouldn't spend that much money for a laptop, and Apple doesn't look to be the big man on campus this year. A majority of the penny-pinching students, 58% of them, said they plan on spending less than $750 on their back-to-school laptop. Apple has been targeting the education market this year with a special promotion offering a free iPod Touch with every MacBook sold. Judging from Retrievo's study, the lure is not that effective. Apple's promotion ends on September 8th, the day after Labor Day. Cheap netbooks, some even under $200, may just be good enough for students tight on cash and already settled with credit card and tuition debt. With long battery life and a variety of designs, these affordable mini laptops give students more for their tight budgets. Now, certainly you can't use it if you're a design student, an art student, a video, you know, a multimedia student. But for the average student who mostly writes papers and does spreadsheets and some PowerPoint-type stuff, then it's perfectly fine. While netbook sales are strong, Apple has been reluctant to enter the cheap, ultra-portable computer war. Speculation about such a device has been floating around for over a year now, but Apple execs blasted the idea of an Apple netbook back in March. But Apple could have something else in mind for the education market. The Cupertino company is rumored to launch a tablet-sized device either this year or in early 2010, which could, of course, they've been rumored to do that since, what, 1987,
yeah,
approximately?
Mm-hmm.
Which could have broad applications for the education sector as well. We might want to take the Retrievo study with a grain of salt, considering it only polled 300 site visitors. If 17% of college-bound students actually do what they told Retrievo and buy a Mac, that's actually pretty good news for Apple. Market research firm Gartner points out that Macintosh's Apple share here in the United States is a paltry 8.7%. Plus, according to market research for NPD, Apple has its own bragging rights. It owns 90% of the over $1,000 PC market. So if 17% of college-bound students buy a Mac will actually double that market share that they currently have. That leads us to our poll this week. Of course, as you know, every week on our website at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, we have a poll. This week's poll is pretty simple. I'd like my next computer to be, and your choices are, a Mac, a netbook. So far, with 32 votes in, 69% of you want a netbook, while only 31% of you want a Mac. Now, I know that you're going to have a lot to say about this poll. So if you look underneath the poll, you will see a little yellow box. If you click on Give Us Your Opinion, it takes you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Jazz90.com.
Ding.
I couldn't have gone any slower, Dave.
No, I'm just trying.
Where you can put in your opinion. So far, six people have entered their opinion. The opinion you're supposed to give, by the way, is yes, there are only two choices. Whine about it here.
Yeah, you should have a Mac netbook as a third choice.
Yes, I agree, but there isn't one.
Yep.
So I stuck with the reality-based thing. So if you'd like to whine, you can do it there. Please, also feel free to whine on the air. Give us a call. In the 585 area code, it's 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. Are you looking to purchase a computer for school or just because? If so, please let us know. Let us know what you're buying and why. Or if you think the poll is lame because I only give you two choices, feel free to call up and be a whiner. Do I have strong feelings about that? Yes. No. Yes, I do.
Don't hold back.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Steve. You were saying?
Yeah, there was a poll on BestBuy.com where they asked people what they were going to buy, and one of the choices was the rumored 10-inch iPod whatever thing Apple is going to announce. And so that got a lot of people talking again. Well, it's on the Best Buy website that you can vote for the iPack, they called it.
The iPack?
And that's a compact trademark,
isn't
it?
That's what I was about to say. Well, if you spell it with a Q, it's a compact trademark.
Yeah. So, yeah, so it's rumors and feel. And one of the big rumors has been it's going to come out in first quarter 2010. But Apple's fiscal first quarter 2010 starts in October, right in time for the shopping season.
Right.
A lot of companies do that. Their first fiscal quarter is the Christmas shopping season, so they have a really good first quarter. I'd almost like it the other way. You have a really good first quarter, and then the rest of the year is terrible.
Yep.
Yeah, it's nice when you end the year with a great great fourth
quarter.
And
a lot of companies do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The folks in the IRC chat are talking about getting a netbook. They want some sort of Linux thing and yada, yada, yada. Yes, it is a new webcam, by the way, Doc. It is a brand new webcam. And
the USB extension cable finally works.
The USB extension cable works. Everything works. Takes us a while, but we eventually get there. All right, let's go to the phones. Our first caller is Thomas. Thomas, where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Joanne.
Oh. Okay, Joanne, where are you calling from?
Greece.
I didn't mean to ask you a hard one right off the bat there, Joanne. I apologize for that.
That's okay. That's my husband's name anyway. I have two flash drives, and each one has like 400 pictures on them. And they're historic pictures, and I'm trying to get them organized by topics. And every time I close the program, the disk down or copy it someplace else, it reorganizes it and puts it in different places.
Different places or just a different order?
Different order.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, most computers, and it doesn't matter whether you're on a Windows or a Mac or a Linux box, you have a choice of how to organize them. And the choices are alphabetically or by date, that sort of fare. But there's no just leave it the way I want it, unless, of course, you put it in folders and mark the folders. What I tend to do with my
But then each folder is sorted by date or
right,
by kind.
Right. Right, it is date or by alphabetically or whatever. So what I tend to do with my folders is I start with a six-digit number.
Okay.
The last two digits of the year. You could do all four digits of the year. That would work just as well. But I use the last two digits of the year, the two-digit month, and the two-digit day for my, you know, when I take pictures.
Okay.
And that way, they're all sorted alphabetically. They're sorted alphabetically. They're sorted chronologically in this case. And so I have all, you know, the 09s and the 08s and the 07s all together. But really, unless you're sorting them into...
I've tried to renumber them.
That would work.
Right. But you need to use the number of digits that the Max is going to have. So if you're going to have 100 photos, you need to use three digits. So 001, 002, 003 to keep them sorted. Because they're sorted alphabetically. They're not numbers. They're letters in the shape of a number.
Right.
That's
right.
What I want to keep going to.
Yeah.
Right. So I did try that. I did the 3000, and then I started like the first chapter, 100, and the second chapter, everything started with 200.
Right.
And then in the view menu, you have to turn off the auto arranging functions. So the every window has its own view, and that view overrides what you've told it to do.
Oh, okay, that may be it.
Yeah, so you can tell it to arrange automatically by name or by date or by kind, by size.
Uh-huh.
Or you can turn off the auto arrange, and it should leave it the way it is, but usually doesn't.
Yeah.
I will give that a try now.
Now, the other thing you can do is there's 100,000 programs out there that will help you organize your pictures. What operating system are you on?
Vista.
Vista.
My condolences.
Yeah.
I've had okay. I don't have any trouble with it.
What brand camera do you have?
Olympus.
I don't know about Olympus, but I know.
I'm using a Picasa.
Yeah, Picasa's one program to do it.
Yep.
Most digital cameras, Kodak and Nikon and Fuji, come with their own photo management program. Kodak's is EasyShare. That's one of the bigger names. But you can use that to organize your photos, make albums, you know, upload to the internet.
Yeah, I'm doing that with Picasa.
Yeah.
And I like the way they edit.
Yep.
What's nice is also many of these types of programs, you can tag pictures. So
yeah,
let's say you
have. I didn't understand what that was.
Well, basically, let's say a picture is it's an old farmhouse with a horse and buggy standing outside, and you know it's your grandparents' house.
Uh-huh.
You add tags that are grandparents' house, you know, Oregon or wherever that house was, buggy, horse. Then you can say, once it's tagged and you save it that way, you can now search by tags. Show me all the pictures that have the tag Oregon in them. Show me all the pictures that have the tag horse.
I eventually want to show a slideshow. Well, I want it to stay organized the way I tell it to.
Right,
it
but
won't.
What this does is it doesn't matter then where the pictures are or how they're set. What matters is what tags you gave them, and you can pull them up by tags.
Right, and you need to use the slideshow feature inside of Picasa.
That's what I did.
You cannot rely on the order on the desktop.
Yeah, because what I did is when I was showing when we had the open house for when I redid all the work that I did on the house, I had a slideshow going. And basically what I did is I put all the photos in one folder with Picasa, and then I renumbered them one through, you know, instead of just the name, I put a number one dash and then the name. And then that way, it cycled through all 75 pictures just by going, you know, by me numbering them. It put them in that particular order.
So I should go to the Picasa slideshow feature.
Yes. Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, he had a full screen on a 22-inch screen. People were able to sit there and just view all the pictures.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you can do it on the desktop as long as you're aware of how the view menu changes the order that your photos are in.
Okay, the view menu.
But you can't guarantee on that order. You have to go to the view menu and set the order you want.
Okay.
Okay.
You got time for one more question?
Sure.
Go for it.
Picasa. It keeps making new folders, and it just keeps, I keep duplicating everything I have. And then one time I tried to delete a folder, well, it goes and deletes it every place, and I lost all those pictures. How do you get it to not keep duplicating?
Don't hit the button that is making the duplicate.
there's a button
somewhere.
Huh. Okay.
Dave knows more about Picasa than
Picasa
we do.
I'm installing it as we speak. For those of you that don't know, Picasa is a free program from Google, picasa.google.com, to organize and edit your photos and create movies and slideshows.
I think you just got to, when you set it up, you know, watch what you're doing. That's no trouble. Folks, quick click and point.
Yeah, there's usually a plus button or an add button somewhere to make a new album. They're probably calling them albums that you can organize your photos.
Mm-hmm. According to the doctor on our IRC chat, it's in the Tools Folder Manager.
Tools Folder Manager. Okay. I just keep getting more and more. And if I send it to the desktop, then it keeps one in the regular folder and one in the desktop, and it just mushrooms into this.
Right.
Okay, I'll worry about that another time.
All right. Yep. Well, let us know.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And there really are an astonishing array of free programs out on the net. that do some wonderful, wonderful things.
And some of them do them all on the net. So instead of organizing them on your computer, you know, places like Flickr and Shutterfly, right. You upload all your photos there and make your albums on the internet. That way everyone can see them.
Right. Right. All right, don't forget to give us a call. We're at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. But wait!
Guess what?
There's more.
Yes, it's time to give away some tickets. Tell you what, if you're the 12th caller, by dialing 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415, you can get some tickets to the Soundbites birthday party. Now remember, staff, volunteers, underwriters of Jazz 90.1, their families, and listeners who have won in the past 30 days, sorry, you're not eligible for this giveaway. For a complete listing of the rules, write Jazz 90.1 Contest Rules, 1139 Maiden Lane, Rochester, New York, 14615. So pick up the phone, be the 12th caller at 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415, and you could win some tickets to the great Soundbite's birthday party.
And don't forget, that party is Saturday, September 5th, just a couple of weeks away. It will be at the Radisson Hotel, Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester, New York. Dave and Steve and I will be broadcasting Soundbites live from noon to 2. The party is from 11 to 3. The only way you can get tickets is to win them here. And I don't know what else to say about it. We're going to have refreshments and munchies, a birthday cake, lots of special guests, and all kinds of interesting things. And I don't know how much time we've got left.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Breeze Community Broadcasting and Jazz 90.1 are proud to present an evening of wine and jazz, Thursday, September 17th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Memorial Art Gallery. This third annual gala fundraising event will feature wine and beer tasting, live jazz by the Rick Holland, Evan Dobbins Little Big Band, and the Bob Snyder Trio, delicious gourmet food, including chocolate sampling, and a huge silent auction. Each attendee will also receive a souvenir Jazz 90.1 tasting glass. Tickets are only $25 each and can be purchased by calling 966-2660. That's 966-2660, or securely online at jazz901.org. Proceeds from an evening of wine and jazz benefit Jazz 90.1. Last year's event sold out, and only a limited number of tickets will be sold this year, so get yours today.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Soundbites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past two decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve, and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno. Join me every Sunday afternoon from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
Wow, these headphones are... I have a deep voice on these
and
headphones.
And we have a winner. Just to let everybody know, we do have a winner for this set of tickets. But, hey, stay tuned. We got a lot more to give away. And you just got to wait for the appropriate moment.
Which comes up fairly regularly in this show. So don't get too excited. You'll have your chance. There's a couple of weeks left to go, and we'll be giving away those tickets. So, yeah, this is give us a call. The number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. On member-supported, Jazz 90.1. We're going to go back to the phones, and our next caller is Dennis. Dennis, where are you calling from?
City of Rochester.
Rochester, New York.
Yes.
Very exciting. What's your question?
I'm a little slow at getting around to doing things, and now that it's almost time for support to end for Windows XP, I want to learn more about it. I have a couple different computers with XP, so I want a good source of tips, tricks, fixes. Where should I go for that? AskNick.com or whereabouts?
Well, that's a lovely segue into that at AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
No beep.
What you really missed was Dave giving the, you know, hands up victory sign before he actually punched the button. Ready to try it again?
That's AskNick.com.
Very nice. All right.
I had the button still tuned down from the previous segue.
It's only $15 a year, and I send out a newsletter with tips and tricks, and you can do searches through all of that. But there are also lots of places online. And in fact, if you were to Google Windows XP tips and tricks, there you go. Now he's just going to do it randomly throughout the day. If you were to Google Windows XP tips and tricks, you'd find a whole bunch of websites that have those out there. So most of them, yeah, I'd be going through those pretty quick since most of them will be quickly useless. I hate to say that, but most of them will be. So, but yeah, for now at least, that's the best way to get them.
Okay, now I have not downloaded Service Pack 3 for any of my computers that I have because I'm afraid I'm going to have hardware that's not going to work. Restore point first before I download Service Pack 3, can I go back to that or not?
No, you'd have to uninstall Service Pack 3.
Right, yeah, so restore point doesn't work, but when you're installing Service Pack 3, it'll ask you if you want to save the install files. So that you can do an uninstall back to Service Pack 2.
And for the most part, Service Pack 3 has been very stable since they did the one patch to the patch.
Yeah.
And I've been putting it on people's machines, no problems, and it's safe.
Okay, excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank
you. Our pleasure.
Oh, and you know what? I should remind Joanne. I meant to say this earlier. Joanne, I hope you're still listening. Why wouldn't she be? If you've got 400 pictures on each of two flash drives, you might want to back them up somewhere. I mean, maybe you've got the same 400 pictures on two flash drives, and then you do have a backup. But I would make another backup somewhere else because flash drives only have a limited life, just like hard drives, just like CDs, just like everything else. So be very careful about that before you go on.
Especially pictures, because in the olden days, where we had traditional film cameras, you had your negatives and your prints, so you had a built-in backup, and it was easy to make another one of the one you lost. But now with digital, you know, we take the picture with our camera, you put it on your computer, then you delete it from the camera. There's only one copy, so that's where having a backup copy on a flash drive or hard drive, or uploading them to the web to share with other people, there's a backup for you also.
One other thing I forgot to mention, lovely wife who is answering the phones for us and saving us a lot of hassle here. Is anybody that's winning the tickets this week and next, we're not mailing them out. We're going to have will call. In other words, what that means, folks, is you will, if you win this week or next, you just show up to the show, bring some ID, and your tickets will be waiting there for you.
Because we can't guarantee the postal office.
And your name has to be William
time.
or Will Mina.
Will call.
Yep.
Yeah,
Will Call will be there, and again, my lovely wife will be at.
If your name is Will Call, you get an extra prize.
Right? Maybe the person who's giving out the tickets, who will be here handing them out, is named Will. You call here for Will. I don't know. Which means you got to pick them up in person. That's the deal.
Yep. So just as a reminder.
Yep. All right. Let's go back to the news. The debate over net neutrality has reignited as broadband service providers hit the first deadline for applying for funds as part of President Obama's economic stimulus package. Thursday marked the first deadline for broadband service providers looking to get a piece of the $4.7 billion that will be doled out in the plan's initial phase. In total, Congress has authorized $7.2 $1 billion as part of the Recovery Act to be used to bring high-speed broadband internet access to consumers and businesses in areas of the country where service is not yet available or is too expensive. Fios, are you listening? Such a high number of broadband companies submitted online applications right before the initial August 14th deadline that the Department of Agriculture and Department of Commerce's servers were overwhelmed with the request, and the deadline was extended to August 20th. Many of the large broadband providers, such as AT&T, Comcast, and Verizon Communications, have decided not to apply for stimulus funds. While some of these companies, like Verizon, said months ago that they would not apply for funds, some experts believe that stipulations announced in July requiring recipients to adhere to net neutrality principles may have kept some of these big operators from throwing their hats in the ring. There is no clear definition of the term net neutrality. But in general, it refers to the concept that internet users should have unfettered access to content and services. In other words, service providers should not be allowed to either impede or favor access to particular sites or applications.
Which they already do.
Which they all do. My particular provider, whenever I incorrectly type in an address, it sends me to their search page. No, thank you. I see where I mistyped, and I can fix it by hand.
What I hate on that is that...
You lose that in your bar.
Yeah, you know, I type Apple, and my browser fills in WN.com for me, so I can be lazy and not type those eight characters. But you do that on the local provider's pages, and it sends you to their search page.
Right.
You can opt out of that, but it's really annoying.
Yeah, it really is annoying. Service providers should not be allowed... Well, yeah, I read that. Most supporters agree that there should be two exceptions to this. One is that service... Hi, I appear to be choking to death right here on the air. One is that service providers should be able to block unlawful content like child pornography, and they should be able to provide, and I quote, reasonable network management, although nobody knows what that means. The debate over net neutrality began heating up about 3 years ago when congressional leaders first started holding hearings on new laws to ensure that internet service providers couldn't monkey with traffic. The discovery that the nation's largest cable operator, Comcast, had slowed down certain kinds of peer-to-peer traffic on its network, fanned the flames, and sparked public outrage over such practices. What do you think? Give us a call.
Yeah.
The number is 966-JAZZ, 966-5299, or 1-800-790-0415. Weigh in on the net neutrality debate because we want to know what you think.
And that's what we're here for. Take your computer questions, get them solved, and... hear your opinion.
Yeah, but it's
too.
Not just about the questions.
No,
if you want to argue about net neutrality or anything else that we talk about, you know, people say, you know, you were talking a couple of weeks ago about blah, blah, blah. I don't even remember it anymore. You want to talk about that, call in right now.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's how it works. We're here to listen to you. We give the numbers. The numbers are on the jazz901.org website. They're on the soundbites.org website. We give them here regularly, 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415. It's not difficult to find the numbers, so you know, don't give me that nonsense years, weeks from now.
Guess what? Guess what?
Dun, 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 dun.
Told you.
Dun.
We're very in a giving nice mood. So what we're going to do is give away some more tickets. Told you. We're loaded for bear this week. Right. So pick up the phone, dial 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415 and be the 10th caller, and you can get some tickets to the Soundbites birthday party. Now remember, be the 10th caller at 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415. You're not going to want to miss out on this party. Hopefully down the road we'll have some more particulars. But everything is still gelling together. And yep. Laurel Ann is busting her butt to get some stuff together. I know there's going to be a cake. And, you know, we're going to be doing the broadcast live.
The party is Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester, New York. We will be there broadcasting live from noon to 2, but the party's from 11 to 3. So come on down and join the party. Remember, if you want, you can sit on my lap and ask your question live on the air. Or you can sit next to us or across the room if that makes you feel safer. There's going to be free refreshments and munchies. There's an open bar. There's a birthday cake. All of that. And you can only get the tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1.
No. It's not an open bar. It's a cash bar.
Cash bar. What did I say?
You said open bar.
I did not mean open bar.
Cash bar. Cash
the
bar.
Ramblings of the hosts of Soundbite
are not necessarily
in no way obligate the management staff or anything else of Jazz 901 to anything. We're idiots. They're not. Listen
and
to
we
them.
Have a winner.
Not to us.
Yep.
We do have a winner. But no, and she's also Laura Lynn was telling me that there will be T-shirts there that you'll be able to get, and if you want us to sign those and autograph them, you'll have a one-of-a-kind T-shirt signed by us.
How much are the autographs? Do we get any money out of this deal at all? No, not a penny. What? Not penny one? What? What?
It goes to the station.
Volunteer. Oh, it's all right then. That works for me.
No,
that absolutely works.
Donations accepted.
Yes, memberships.
Yep.
Right, right. And join and be part of the family here at 901 Jazz 90.1. We'll be happy to do that. It's a great group of people. And again, let me just say one more time delighted we are that the folks here at Jazz 901, in particular, Mr. Rob Linton, was kind enough to bring us on board. It was great of them. We've got two solid hours with absolutely minimal interruption. And that just means more sound bites for you. But the way this works, of course, as we've said only 100 million times in the past, we are member-supported radio. So please feel free to give a pledge. You can do that securely online at jazz901.org. And as thanks for the great things that the folks here have done for us.
I wonder if they'll be offering the Soundbites T-shirt up there to sell.
I don't know.
Membership.
I don't know.
Have to check that.
We'll
out.
Have to check that out. Absolutely, we will check that out. All right, back to the news. You didn't print out any emails this week, did you? No,
none.
All right.
There was there was one, and it was about the podcast and. You know, it was just, where do I find it? And
right.
I couldn't see printing that off.
No, but for those who want to know, the podcast is available at the iTunes Store. So if you do a search in the podcast area for Sound Bites Podcast, that's three words, Sound space Bites space Podcast, you'll find us.
Do we have a link?
We have a link on our website as well.
Point them there.
The link on the website is points to the RSS feed. I emailed you a link yesterday that takes you to the iTunes Store if you want to add that.
Oh,
too.
Good. I'll change that, too.
Yeah.
Or I'll add that, too.
And I'm trying to figure out how to get an icon on the iTunes Store.
Other people do it.
Right. And it says it should happen automatically. I put the art in the file.
And it shows up.
And it shows up on your computer and on your device. What I think it's saying that you should use a 300 by 300 pixel icon, and it generates smaller icons. Well, I'm using a much bigger one than that, and that might be the problem.
That might be
so
it.
So this week I'm going to try 300 by 300.
We need a Mac expert?
Apparently we do, yeah.
We need an XML expert. RSX XML.
There's only a few of those around.
Yeah,
no, really.
I know a BRLM expert. Business relational markup. BRML. Business relation markup language. Eric Cohen. Our buddy Eric Cohen is world-renowned BRML expert. But... so, yeah, give us a call. We do, I've been tracking, you know, how many people download the podcast, but of course, it's not everybody who listens to the show, unfortunately. That's kind of a bogus number because Ashcan puts it up and a lot of people download it from him before you get it up because he puts it up instantly. And so, consequently, we can't go to an advertiser and say, look how many people download the podcast because it's a bogus number because it's not everybody. Yeah. So, that's too bad.
They know that, and it doesn't count people who share the file manually.
Right.
And it's numbers are all...
So that's too bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, Apple... not Apple. Microsoft. Microsoft isn't... Oh, you're going to love this. You know, everything... There's an app for everything on the iPhone, apparently. There's 15 zillion apps, which, of course, makes it a little difficult to actually find a good app. I have...
You go by the top 25 apps, but then smaller apps never get a chance to bubble up to the top.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And so, but finding an app on the iPod, on the App Store now is you'll find something that's kind of okay, but you don't know if there's a better one out there, and it's just kind of frustrating because there's 15 zillion of them out there.
A lot of times if you read the reviews, they'll say, this one's crap, you should use this one instead. And you hope they're being honest and not...
Right, and then you
go
read those reviews,
yeah,
and it says the second one is crap. You should read the first one.
Yeah.
All right, fine. But Microsoft is encouraging developers of their own to charge more than 99 cents for mobile applications they design for the company's newest mobile device operating system, Windows Mobile 6.5. We would definitely want to promote that you make more money selling applications than selling your applications in a dollar store, said Loke Yue. See, I don't know. I can't pronounce that. I'm Italian. Senior technical product manager for Microsoft's mobile developer experience team. I know 99 cents is interesting. Yes, consumers like to pay 99 cents for applications, but 99 cents, come on. I think your app is worth more than that. How many people have made $1 million selling 99-cent apps?
And that's been a big concern in the iTunes store is sort of the artificial deflation of the prices. There's some really good games that, as a console game or as a computer game, would sell for $50-$60. And if you charge more than $2 or $3 for it in the App Store, you know, it doesn't sell.
Right.
So this artificial deflation about 99 cents. It initially sort of became the demo of a game. You can have a free program. Or you can have a paid program, but you can't have a demo that you then buy and it adds more stuff to it until they just updated the OS recently. So it's that 99-cent price point seems to be the magic number, and we're wondering how many people are buying more than that. And then what you said last night, too, studies have shown, is that you download it, you look at it once, and you never touch it again.
Right. So yeah. That's, you know,
But the guy got his 99 cents for that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've only downloaded one app that actually costs money.
I know. I've got 100.
Kind of a ripoff, so I'm not going to do it anymore.
I got 100 apps on my iPod, and probably 99% of them were free.
Yep. And I don't. I look at a bunch of them and I throw them away. I've got maybe 15 apps that I actually, you know, I looked at it once. I thought, oh crap, throw it away.
Yep.
Because I don't care. It was just free to begin with. But a Microsoft spokesrobot confirmed that Windows Marketplace for Mobile, which will be available with Windows Mobile 6.5 in the fall, will allow independent software vendors and developers to set their own price for applications. The spokesrobot also suggested that applications for Marketplace would generally fall in the 99-cent to $29.99 price range, with a selection available for free. Other mobile application providers already charge generally higher prices for their software. For example, Research in Motion's BlackBerry App World has set an initial floor of $2.99 for its paid applications, which theoretically could reach a price as high as $9.99. Palm may also set its app prices higher than 99 cents. In addition to capitalizing on that trend, Microsoft may also be playing into the frustration of developers wanting a higher profit margin for their App Store applications. Although developers can charge far larger amounts for iPhone software they develop, the sheer number of apps present in each of the App Store's categories makes it difficult for developers to build an audience unless they want to price their wares competitively, which is, well, 99 cents. So people are having a bit of a problem. What do you think about that? Give us a call, 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415. Call us with your favorite app. Call us with an app that ripped you off. What do you think of paying 99 cents or getting them for free? Whatever you want to hear. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's Soundbites on Jazz 901.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Soundbites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past two decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Sonnenberg Gardens and Mansion, presenting Arts at the Gardens Saturday and Sunday, August 22nd and 23rd from 10 to 5 each day. The show and sale is on the grounds of the Sonnenberg Estate in Canandaigua and features art created by 100 artists and craftspeople from the Finger Lakes and throughout the Northeast. The culinary tent will offer Finger Lakes wines, food, and microbrews. There are also tours of the Sonnenberg Mansion and Gardens throughout the day. You can obtain more information by visiting www. www.sonnenberg.org.
Hello, this is Paul Conley. Join me early on Monday mornings from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 42 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Give us a call. The number is 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
We're in a giving mood, and we're going to give away some
more. And give and give.
And ask so little back.
That's right.
All right, tell you what, be the 10th caller at 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415. That's the 10th caller to get your tickets to the Soundbites birthday party. Be the 10th caller at 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415.
And have at it. And that party, don't forget, is Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel, Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester, New York.
One thing I know we can say, I know for a fact.
Are you sure you want to say this?
Yes, we're doing a giveaway.
All right.
Because I'm supplying some stuff to give away.
Oh, I've got some things too, actually.
I've got some stuff that I can tell you is you're not going to want to miss out on this. You want to get your tickets.
You want to get your tickets.
There's going to be some good giveaways.
September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside.
And guess,
it's from 11 to 3. We'll be broadcasting live from noon to 2. You'll be able to come. There's going to be refreshments and munchies. There's a cash bar. A cash bar. And even a birthday cake. You can only get the tickets, of course, by listening to Jazz 90.1. So do that.
Yes, you're not going to want to miss out. There's going to be a lot of stuff, and you're going to have to hear it from your friends if you missed out and didn't pick up the phone. Because guess what? The tickets don't cost you a cent. And we have a winner already.
Ding, 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 ding,
right.
Ding, ding.
We have a winner, but don't worry. Like I told you, we're in a giving mood. We're going to give away some more tickets, so don't despair. But,
That's right.
You can still pick up the phone and give us a call with your computer questions at, Nick?
Oh, the number is in the 585 area code. It's 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, 5299. Outside the 585 area code, of course, it's toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. That's 966-5299. Or 1-800-790-0415. I cannot believe you people are not giving us a call. Not only for your computer questions, but just to talk about the stuff of the day. You people have opinions. I know you have opinions. So bring them out on the air. We'll be happy to talk to you. And now, a story that could have been told last week or the week before, or possibly, I think, the week before that. Twitter. Inexplicably went offline midday Thursday with the Twitter.com homepage delivering 503 server errors indicating temporary overloading or server maintenance. All told, the service appears to have been offline for approximately 20 minutes. A glance at real-time Twitter search engine, TwasUp, I cannot believe that, shows a 20-minute gap in posts on a popular trending topic. It's unclear whether this is the sign of another denial of service attack like the one that hit Twitter along with Facebook and Google's Blogger service 2 weeks ago, or just a temporary glitch. The attacks on August 6th were reportedly motivated by political reasons, targeting a Georgian blogger. Georgia, the country, not Georgia, the state. Even after the initial wave of attacks, Twitter continued to suffer disruptions. The DDoS attack is still ongoing, and the intensity has not decreased at all, wrote Chad Etzel from Twitter's application development platform support team 2 days after the first wave. Even once the site was back online, third-party apps such as Uber Twitter, I wonder if that's Uber Twitter, I don't know, for BlackBerry still had problems. Last week on August 12th, Twitter went down again, but the outage only lasted for about 30 minutes. Experts weren't sure whether the incidents were related, but they nonetheless reflected poorly on the social messaging site ability to fend off attackers.
What I was going to say is that some of the reports were that it wasn't really a DDoS attack. It was spammed. So people were posting links that were link bait, and enough people were clicking links in this Twitter post that were sending them to the Twitter homepage that was just overwhelming traffic. It wasn't an intentional DDoS.
Maybe. Yeah.
But at the same time, the links were also going to Facebook, which did not go down. They can scale.
Well, they're Google.
Yeah.
Every machine Twitter doesn't own is owned by Google.
Yeah.
All right. I saw a report, though, that said 90% of Twitter content.
I have that one. That's in here.
Oh, is it?
That's where you saw it.
No.
But that's okay.
I heard somebody talking about it. That is, well, we'll save it for after. We'll go on to that. Right.
But, here's the thing. What do you think? What do you think about Twitter? Tell us. Actually, maybe I don't have it in here anymore. Maybe I took it out. Okay, go ahead. No, I didn't take it out.
You did take it out?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay. Well, what I saw was that they consider 90% of the content of Twitter
to be
totally useless.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm walking down the hall.
Twitter. Yeah,
it's the 80-20 rule.
I'm in the bathroom. Mood relieved.
I think it's more.
Yeah, it's the 80-20 rule 90. was
this is like the 99-1 rule.
Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting thing, the phenomenon of Twitter. On Facebook, it seems to be who you know. On Twitter, it's what you know. If you really filter correctly and only follow certain people, you get a lot of unbelievably good information. However, if there are a lot of people that are just Twittering junk. Also, as I mentioned in both as a Twitter and on Facebook, I have recently become very, very popular with a certain class of female. On Twitter, I get lots and lots of people who just want to share time with me. Shall we say? Twitter's being spammed, and I'm just one of a billion people getting these porn links.
I just read an article about Craigslist where they went through this big thing about removing the adult section. Basically, they tried to remove the free adult section and went to a paid adult section. And that hasn't stopped the prostitution ads.
Right.
Anything.
They just go somewhere else.
Well, yeah, but the point was that you now have to pay to put an adult ad on Craigslist, and they are.
Sure, because they make money.
Yeah, you're still getting prostitution ads. They're veiling it a little differently, but it's still it didn't solve anything.
Right. Well, what do you think about Twitter? You out there listening, sitting on your hands. Get up off your hands and dial the phone. The number is 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or give us a call toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. Do you use Twitter? Do you love Twitter? Do you hate Twitter? Do you even know what Twitter is? Give us a call. Defend it or attack it. We don't care. Give us a call.
Did you see the picture? I'm trying to find it again now. Facebook bought FriendFeed for some ridiculous amount of money, and there was a picture of the corporate signing. And they're all wearing, shorts and T-shirts and sandals. One of the guys from Facebook had sort of a business casual on. But it was this $50 million merger. And they're all just in their dirty T-shirts and sandals in somebody's backyard.
Well, a lot of businesses, even Facebook. How old is that kid? What?
Like 15 when he started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I have to talk about this because this is so cool. I use Twitter and I use Facebook and I use all this stuff. And on Facebook, one of my friends is an artist. She's a comic book. She writes an online comic. Her name is Jen Beaven, and she writes an online comic. And last week, I started using a new Twitter application called Gwibber. And I clicked something wrong and retweeted myself. So I sent out a tweet that said, I cannot believe I retweeted myself. I am an idiot and/or I hate Gwibber. Jen then wrote back and said, I wonder what happens when you retweet yourself. Nick, do you mind if I use this in a cartoon? And she said, and I said, no, of course I don't mind. And this week's cartoon at pengcognito.com, and Steve will put up a link to that, pengcognito.com. is about retweeting yourself and what happens when you do that. It's a very cute cartoon.
Yeah.
Jen Beaven, very, very, very talented lady. And I want to thank her publicly and point all of you to her website because it's so cool.
Well,
because
it's always been sort of a Twitter faux pas just to retweet someone else's tweet. But not retweeting yourself.
Well, everybody retweets everywhere. Right. I retweeted myself like an idiot. I'm sitting there and I'm trying to play with this thing and trying to figure it out. And the next thing I know, I'm looking at this tweet and I said, that's just what I said. Oh, and it was me. I retweeted myself. I'm an idiot.
Well, folks can also, if they go to our webpage, which is
soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you.
And they can also see your interview on Twitter. Mm-hmm. That is also still listed there over on the right-hand side for the Soundbites fans.
Yes, the folks at Channel 13 clearly had no one else good to interview, so they gave me a call. And I interviewed with them about Twitter, the Twitter outage that happened a few weeks ago. I also did that on CNN International, which was kind of fun. But that has not surfaced anywhere on the web yet, and so I don't know how to get a copy yet.
Hmm.
But yeah, so
that
was
that. Do you have the contact, though? You know.
Well, I got the contact, and I keep emailing him. The folks at RIT keep emailing him, and so far nothing has happened yet. But it was fun to do. It was a little weird. It was a little weird because normally when you're doing some sort of interview, you've got somebody to look at or something. It's like nothing. I was in this little box. It was like I was being
And where were you on
interrogated,
the night of?
Exactly. I was being interrogated for a crime. There was me and a little camera. There wasn't even a monitor so I could see what was going on the Ooh. Actual. It was just me and a monitor. I'm sitting there for like 40 minutes in this little sensory deprivation chamber. And all of a sudden in my earpiece, I say, Mr. Francesco, you're on in 10 seconds. Okay. And lo, I was. And the whole interview was like 2 minutes, but it was kind of cute. What was cool is at the end of it, the guy asked me to explain how you block these things, and I did. And then they went to the next segment. You know, he threw to the next guy, and the guy started to talk about something. He stopped, and he said, you know what? That was a really good explanation. I understood that, and I'm stupid.
Sweet.
I thought, oh, that was very sweet. That was very nice. So that was kind of fun. We had... It was kind of fun to do, even though I had absolutely no idea when I was going to actually be on. And it turned out to be on CNN International, not regular CNN, although CNN International has a much, much larger audience, so a whole lot more people saw me.
Cool.
So that was kind of nice. Yeah. Yeah. All right, so check out the folks at Pencognito. Check out the folks at Pencognito.com. Jen does a terrific little... online, I start out my morning nowadays with a couple of dozen different online comics, and that starts out my day.
Well, isn't there a page that you can go to that you can sit there and tag all your special ones that you like?
Well, there's been create your own newspaper, and a lot of the comic syndicates will let you generate one page with all your favorite comics on it,
and that's mm-hmm. the whole trouble. You know, you hear this from a lot of folks. My wife is one of them, still likes to hold a newspaper. You know, I mean,
sure.
The online.
Get that ink on your fingers.
And, you know, it's still annoying, you know, and I'm sure other folks, I'd like to hear from some of the other folks, their opinions. You know, do you still like the, you know, printed news, or do you really read everything online? Because, you know, right now, the DNC and that is, you know, they're saying membership, you know, the declining numbers there and more content. They're telling you, well, go on the web.
Right.
And a lot of folks.
And do you prefer the web, or do you prefer to read it online? Do you prefer to read it on your iTouch, or do you prefer to read it on your netbook or your desktop, or what? And why? Give us a call, 966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or, of course, toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. That's 1-800-790-0415. There's just so much to talk about, and yeah. People don't, you know, they're just sitting there absorbing information. They're not calling in. That's all right. That's fine. Hup, what? What hup?
Phone's ringing.
The phone's ringing. What fascinates me is the number of people on Twitter who really have seriously good information that they're willing to share.
Yep.
I'm just very impressed by that. And the same thing is true on Facebook, but I don't know why I expected it more on that one and a little bit less on the other. All right, our next caller is Lynn. Lynn, where are you calling from?
Rochester.
Rochester, New York. Welcome.
Yeah. Hello, and great. So I got that question about the newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. I like reading the newspaper. I like holding it.
Good.
And since my computer is is down until I fix it. I can't access these all the references that they have. Go to DNC.com to see the photos or read extra stuff. That just doesn't work for me.
Right, right. It used to be that all that stuff was in the paper, and you had it all in one place. Now they're all trying to be multimedia, but if you don't have access to those other media, then you can't get to the content anymore.
Exactly.
And, Lynn, do you find it, I mean, moving around in their webpage, no offense, is not the easiest thing.
Well, what I find a lot of times is I'll read a lot of the top stories on the web, you know, and that's the thing they're saying is the news changes so fast. By the time the newspaper comes, it's 10, 12 hours old, and 1,000 more stories have happened. I'll try to go back to the website to read an article again, and I can't find it.
Right.
Because it's 1,000 stories old.
Right.
Well, I'm stuck in the 20th century, and I...
Yes.
And that means that I'm going to be reading the paper when I get the paper.
Yep.
And besides, if I got the paper in hand, I can read the funnies. I have tried getting the funnies on the web, and like, hello, what icon do I hit?
Right. It's hard to navigate sometimes.
And just try doing the crosswords on the web.
Right. Well, all right. Thank you very much, Lynn. I appreciate hearing that, and I agree with you about the crosswords 100%. Now, we are going to take a quick break. We've got about, 10, 15 seconds till we're out. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and we are right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. And
don't forget,
now we have a minute.
Yeah, now we got a minute. I'm sorry. A little confusion there. But I don't want folks to forget, though. We will be giving away more tickets, so stay tuned. We still have some pairs of tickets to give away to the September 5th birthday party. You're not going to want to miss out on that. So, you know, stay tuned. One other caveat is, folks, when you're calling in for the tickets this week and next, we will be having them at will call. Don't worry. We will make sure that your name is put down. The tickets will be waiting there. Matter of fact, my lovely wife, Lorraine, will be there. And just bring some ID, and we'll match you up. You'll get your tickets, and there'll be no problem. And you're going to be part of the biggest birthday party going on Soundbites. And, you know, you don't want to miss it.
And that address is 1139 Maiden Lane in Greece. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more Soundbites.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Sitting in with Helen Borchers and Ricky Woodard, and we're talking about jazz. Ricky, you have a new album coming out, you said.
I do. It's it's been recording for a little over a year now, and I'm just getting it out there. It's called Why Did I Do It? The story of my life. We did all originals. And
by you?
Yeah, I wrote all the compositions on this one. And so I just wanted to do something a little bit different because every record that I've done with the record labels, they always tell me, Ricky, make sure you play more standards than you do original stuff because people want to see stuff that they're familiar with. And I understand that. I really understand that. But I kind of wanted to do something a little different, so I just decided I was going to do all my own compositions.
And so tell me about it, because I haven't even heard it yet.
There's some bluesy shuffle stuff on there, and some kind of up-tempo stuff, and some bossa nova stuff on there as well. So just a mixture of everything.
Okay, because when you got that look on your face and you were saying, why did I do it, I was thinking...
I was thinking about something else.
Well, I was thinking, you know, it might suddenly be hip-hop or, you know, something like that. You never know, because... you've been there and probably done a lot of that over the years in the music business. You have to.
But I have. I came up doing that. I came up playing blues and top 40 stuff in Nashville. But basically, I'm a diehard jazz fan.
Right on.
I'm going to be playing jazz all my life. That's what I love. So, and that's what I try to write as well.
So that has nothing to do with the question then and why you did it, because that is, it is out of love, you know, but certainly not for the money. Because there isn't any money in jazz. We all know that. But there are lots of good times. Ricky Woodard is proof. He's sitting in with me. I'm Helen Borgers.
Hear a full hour of Sitting In with Helen Borgers every Friday at noon on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This morning, a woman reached out. A man stepped up. Somebody sat down with 16-year-old Stephen and taught him better study habits, and suddenly, toughing it out till graduation seemed to Stephen a pretty good idea. We're realizing the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, their health. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And we are Soundbites. Give us a call at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Outside the 585 area code, it's toll-free at 1-800-790-0-WOLF. I don't care. It's too dang hot today. Our next caller is James. James, where are you calling from?
Calling from Webster, New York.
Where life is worth living.
Right.
And what is keeping you from living your life as well as you'd like to?
Okay, I find that this happened probably about maybe 3-4 weeks ago. When I'm replying to an email, I'm not that fast a typer, but I'm not that slow, but it seems like the computer is lagging behind me, and it makes it very frustrating. Sometimes I even have to wait, like if I want to go back and make a correction,
right.
It isn't typed. It's not up to where I am yet.
What is your what email program do you use?
I use Hotmail.
All right, which is web-based, but uh-huh. You're not on the web yet. You're still on your machine. I would start with the fact that it is possible your machine has a virus on it.
Okay.
That is using your network connection once you log into Hotmail to do bad things. So I would start by dancing the security tango. That's at securitytango.com.
Okay.
Click on the Let's Dance button. Pick your operating system. Print out the page and follow the instructions.
Uh-huh.
I would start there, and I suspect that will solve your problem.
Okay, so that's the securitytango.com. .com.
And, of course, on the web, that's all one word. There's no spaces.
Right, naturally. Okay. That's all lowercase, right?
Yes. Although, honestly, with the initial part there up to the .com,
yeah.
On the web, it doesn't matter. Yeah. After that, case matters. But for that first part,
okay.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. All right, so you think they might solve my problem?
That's exactly where I would start.
It's something running in the background, slowing your computer down.
Okay. And if it starts when you start Hotmail,
yeah.
that's the one that's going to make me think that that's what it is.
Yeah. I suppose if you're lucky, it's your antivirus program doing its job and scanning for viruses ahead of time. But it shouldn't be taking that much resources that you can't type at full speed.
Yep.
Yeah, so there's something is eating away your process instead of you getting your processor.
Right. Okie doke?
Yep.
All righty. Our next caller is Rich. Rich, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Rochester. How you doing, Nick?
Peachy. Hi, Rich.
How you doing? Listen, I got two questions for you guys today. I am using a Cronus True Image 2009. I get the image to burn fine, but when I bring the machine, I have a machine up, and I bring it up, and it says starting Acronis loader, dot, 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 sits there, does nothing. I looked all over the Internet. I'm not finding a good answer for that, or am I missing something? When I reboot the machine under the Acronis boot disk.
Oh, Acronis. Oh, all right. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, yeah, Acronis. It was just sitting there with the boot disk in the machine is saying starting Acronis loader. Have any of you guys seen that? And it just sits there.
And it just sits there and never stops?
Yeah, it just sits there, starting Acronis loader, dot, 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 and it's like it's hung right there.
Hmm. I have not seen that.
Either.
That's interesting. What?
It's a Dell laptop with Vista. I have the latest Acronis 2009 with all the, you know, the patches and updates.
Mm-hmm.
And I burn the image fine. Okay. Like when I'm on the machine, bring up Acronis, burn the image onto, I have an external USB drive, right? Then
yep,
I burn the boot disk, you know, I want to burn it from my machine just in case it needs whatever it needs, you know, from the machine. And I go to boot it and it just sits there.
Do you have anything connected to the USB port?
I only have that drive and I had a mouse.
Because it is a known problem of the Acronis software that if there's anything plugged into USB, this can happen.
Now, I found a couple of links at Wilder Security posting to things to try.
Wilder Security, you said?
Yeah.
The name of the site?
Yeah, I'll post the link on our link list.
It's okay. Wilder's, plural, security.com. Oh.
So how am I supposed to get to the boot image on the USB drive if it's going to hang? That's annoying. It's like a...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't do anything.
Yeah, how am I going to do that?
Yeah.
Well, try these suggestions and see what they have to say about it. Not entirely certain what else to tell you.
Okay.
It could be...
Something corrupted somewhere.
Something, yeah.
It's
supposed to take you to the wizard screen, right? And it's not doing that.
And it's for Vista,
too. I'm still at the command line. It's just sitting there with a blinking cursor hung right there. It just starts loading. It's like it doesn't get anywhere. It doesn't even start loading drivers and nothing. It just, bam, just stops right there. Start Acronis loader. Starting Acronis loader, and it just sits there.
Right, and that's off the CD?
Yep.
Yeah.
I burn a boot CD, right?
Right.
Tried it with the original CD to see the same thing happens. Maybe you're right. Maybe I should pull out the USB and see if that happens.
Well, more importantly, try this on another machine.
Right.
And try those disks on another machine because it could be the way the BIOS is configured. Because there's that XP has something called data execution prevention.
Which is it's a security feature, but it can make some programs not work.
Right, and that may be one of them. There is some BIOS disease have it, as well as XP itself has it. So check to see if that's doing it, and I would check the BIOS first.
Right, go through the BIOS settings.
Yep. Give it a shot. Let us know.
Okay, now that's one question. Here goes to the next question. Now Now we're going to virtualization with Xen.
Right.
I was taking my server down and reboot it, and I couldn't get it up. I tried a thousand things, and I noticed the boot drive that I'm using. I have like a 30 gig boot drive. I'm running CentOS 5, and it's usually 10% full. I noticed it was 100% full. So of course nothing's going to happen with Linux if that happens.
Right.
I went to a directory called User Lives Xen, and I found thousands of iterations of a file. Of two files. One was a boot_kernel file.
Mm-hmm.
The one was boot_ram disk.
Yep.
I couldn't find anything that told me what those, and they all happened on August 6th. I think I had, between the two of them, I had 8,000 or 9,000, and it just filled up the file system.
Yep, they were.
When I deleted all of those, everything came up. But before, I, you know, I, of course, nothing would come up before that.
Right.
What are those files?
Those are the files that are created when you create a Xen instance. Xen is a virtualizer. So you can say, let's say you're running CentOS, which is a for everybody else, that's a version of Linux.
Right.
And you want to run Windows XP inside Linux. You need to run a virtualization software like Xen, X-E-N, to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You create a drive under Xen, and that will let you install Windows on it and run it.
Right.
Those two files, one is the actual operating system, and the other is, well, it's not actually that, well, it's the loader for the instance.
Yeah.
And the other is the hard drive space that pretends to be a whole other computer that has all the files in it. So what it sounds like, and you may have certainly done this accidentally because Xen is not easy to set up the first time, is created those thousands of instances all in the same day.
Yeah, it was on August 6th, and I've had this server up and running. I have four virtual instances of CentOS 5 on the machine, right?
Right.
And they were running fine. I just said, okay, I had made some updates and all that, and I had put in another bridge for another Ethernet card I had in the machine, so I went to reboot it. And I found it was all on August 6th. And the machine has been running probably since July. So
well,
I was just trying to figure out what would cause, like, thousands of these files to pop up.
Yep. Well, first, of course, check the machine for any sorts of viruses, particularly check the XP instances that you created. But it's very likely, particularly with CentOS, if you click the wrong thing somewhere in the setup or...
Make a backup copy of every time the machine launches.
Right,
it
could.
Yeah.
That's what I was about to say. It could be backup copies because they have to be put somewhere. So if you're doing a backup every day, every week, or if you accidentally said back this up a couple of thousand times, there you are.
Yep.
Well, it was nuts, but it cleared up. But now I'm not seeing them, so I was just wondering, had anybody seen that?
Yeah, it's likely something you actually did at the console.
I've seen that happen with log files. Some error message gets generated, and your log files fill up your hard drive.
Well, give it a shot. Let us know. We'd love to hear back on how you made it out, okay?
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yep, thank you.
All right, have fun.
Weird little things like that are always annoying.
Well, and in particular when you can't really reproduce them because you don't know why they got caused in the first place.
And it happened once.
Right.
And, okay, so it's not reproducible. Call me when it happens every day.
Right. And that's what makes me think that it's something that Rich actually did as opposed to something that's happening for a virus or whatever.
Yep.
And particularly, man, I'll tell you what, some of these virtualization programs, very, very powerful, but very easy to screw up in some
gotta
way.
You got to take your time.
Yep.
You got to take your time.
All right, our next caller is Vic. Vic, where are you calling from?
Rochester,
what's your question?
I use IncrediMail to access Hotmail. I got an email from Windows Live Hotmail this morning saying something about you're going to have to configure your Hotmail account after September 1st, 2009. Are you guys aware of anything like that?
No.
It says, to continue receiving email from your Hotmail account, please select one of the alternative solutions before September 1st. And it says if you use Microsoft Outlook to view Hotmail, you have to change something, or Outlook Express, or something called Entourage to view it. I don't know what changes they're making, but I use IncrediMail, and so I was curious if that was going to be a problem accessing my Hotmail account.
It looks like they're changing something. That could be it.
Yeah, they are changing something. But I don't quite know what. And if the message doesn't mention, I don't know. That's a good question.
It doesn't mention IncrediMail. It just mentions Office Outlook, Outlook Express, and Entourage.
Well, those are Microsoft's email programs.
Oh, okay.
So if you're using those email programs, then you have to make a change in your setup.
No, I use IncrediMail all the time.
So you may not have to make the change.
Well, Hotmail is going to stop using the DAV, so Entourage uses that. You'll have to change it, and all the other ones that you talked about.
For calendar access?
I guess so.
Because, yeah, it's, the web dev is usually used for syncing calendars.
Distributed authoring and versioning. So, yeah, if you use Office or Outlook Express or Entourage, those are the only three it mentions. There will be settings changes that are needed. Boy, I don't use either, so I never looked into this. But, yeah, it looks like that's what's going to happen, but I don't know that there will be any impact on IncrediMail.
Yeah, I'm finding similar sorts of questions. Now, here's somebody that says they have the answer. Let's see what the answer is. WindowsLiveHelp.com, is that where you're at?
Yeah.
I see the background picture.
Same place.
Yeah, so if you're using the DAV protocol to get your mail, you're going to have to change to POP. So check your IncrediMail settings and see if the server you're using says DAV or if it says POP.
Okay.
And if it says...
And we'll post that in our link list.
Right. Okie doke.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's very unlikely he's using DAV because almost all IncrediMail uses POP. DAV is typically used for syncing calendars.
Yeah, except, well, Microsoft can do anything they want within their own program, so I suppose that's okay. But, yeah, that's interesting. I don't know why they're making that. I wonder why they're making that change. Well, DAV.
Well, it's all part of their Windows Live thing that they're trying to migrate everything into. There's going to be an Office Live, so you can run the Office programs on the Internet. And then they can charge you an annual fee.
Right.
Because not enough people are buying the new versions.
Right. All right, our next caller is Dave. Dave, where are you calling from?
Rochester.
We've got about a minute and a half, so give it to us quick.
Okay. I have a HP EliteBook 8730 workstation mobile. I'm having an interesting problem with it. It locks up after I have a USB device called a 3D controller connected up to it. It has never done this before. It just started to do this just recently. Basically, what happens is if I just plug in the 3D controller with the drivers running or not, after 2 minutes, and I've timed this, it takes just 2 minutes, and then the whole machine locks up. No response whatsoever. I have to hot button restart the thing.
What it sounds like is that there's a memory leak somewhere in the driver. Did it update recently?
The driver?
Yeah.
Oh, I've removed the driver and reloaded the driver.
No, yes, but you reloaded the same one you uninstalled.
No, I uninstalled it and then downloaded a new driver.
Oh.
3D connection.
That could be the problem. The new driver may not work. You may need to go back to the old driver.
Okay.
Tell you what, why don't we keep him on hold?
Yeah, stay on the line, Dave, because we have to take a quick break, but we'll come back to you when we get back. We are Soundbites. You're listening to Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco. Dave from Rochester, New York is holding on the line. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes to answer his question and all of yours. So give us a call, 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Breeze Community Broadcasting and Jazz 90.1 are proud to present an evening of wine and jazz, Thursday, September 17th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Memorial Art Gallery. This third annual gala fundraising event will feature wine and beer tasting, live jazz by the Rick Holland, Evan Dobbins Little Big Band, and the Bob Snyder Trio, delicious gourmet food, including chocolate sampling, and a huge silent auction. Each attendee will also receive a souvenir Jazz 90.1 tasting glass. Tickets are only $25 each and can be purchased by calling 966-2660, that's 966-2660, or securely online at jazz901.org. Proceeds from an evening of wine and jazz benefit Jazz 90.1. Last year's event sold out, and only a limited number of tickets will be sold this year, so get yours today. Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Sonnenberg Gardens and Mansion, presenting Arts at the Gardens Saturday and Sunday, August 22nd and 23rd from 10 to 5 each day. The show and sale is on the grounds of the Sonnenberg Estate in Canandaigua and features art created by 100 artists and craftspeople from the Finger Lakes and throughout the Northeast. The culinary tent will offer Finger Lakes wines, food, and microbrews. There are also tours of the Sonnenberg Mansion and Gardens throughout the day. You can obtain more information by visiting www. www.sonnenberg.org.
This is Devon. Join me every Monday night from 9 until midnight as I kick off Jazz Horizons right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And you are listening to member-supported Jazz 90.1. We are Soundbites at 1:21 in the afternoon. Now, Dave's on the line, but before we get to Dave,
we're going to give away some more tickets. Tell you what, be the 10th caller at 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415 to get your tickets to the September 5th, 20th birthday party of Soundbites. Now remember, staff, volunteers, underwriters of Jazz 90.1, their family, and listeners who have won in the past 30 days, sorry you're not eligible for this giveaway. But you can get a complete listing of the rules if you write Jazz 90.1 Contest Rules, 1139 Maiden Lane, that's Rochester, New York, 14615. So pick up the phones, be the 10th caller at 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415. And tell you what, now we can go back to Dave.
Well, but first we should tell people that that party is on Saturday, September 5th at the Rochester, at the Radisson Hotel, Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. And the party is from 11 to 3. We'll be there and we'll be live on the air from 12 to 2. There's going to be refreshments, a cash bar, a birthday cake, and all kinds of other interesting surprises. But we have some important information about Will Call, so listen very carefully.
If you're winning tickets for this weekend, this week, and next, you have to do what we call Will Call. You come to the event. We will have your name there. And my lovely wife, Lori, will be, we have a winner. We'll be giving, the tickets to you there at the actual event. We will be handing you your tickets that you win this week and next at the event.
Yeah, don't come to 1139 Maiden Lane. I was incorrect about that. The actual Will Call will be at the party. So you only have to make one trip, and that's to the party.
And bring some ID. All right, let's.
Yeah, bring some ID. We've still got Dave on the line. Dave, you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right, there's a couple of things that could be going on here. It's certainly possible that the 3D controller has gone bad.
I've checked that against two others, and it works the same way. So it's my machine or the installed drivers or, well, I had called 3D Connections or talked to them, and they gave me a couple of options, and one didn't work. I reinstalled the drivers. They say they have a clean install method that I haven't tried yet. Not sure what that is.
Basically, that means you remove everything, not just uninstall, because uninstall doesn't remove everything.
And one program I would recommend, Dave, to uninstall it, because even the uninstaller programs don't do that great of a job. There's a great program called Revo. If you download Revo and use that, anytime anybody, I recommend this for anybody. You want to keep your registry nice and clean and trim and keep garbage out of the other parts of your hard drive. Download and install Revo. Use that instead of an uninstaller program.
Okay.
It will not only remove the program, it goes into the registry. Because a lot of these registry programs or uninstallers, they just turn off a bit. The remnants of that program still reside there. Revo will actually say, oh, here's all these entries. What do you want to do? You say select all, delete. It cleans up all those, plus any entries on your hard drive. It does a thorough job of removing stuff, and I highly recommend it for any program.
Okay.
But in addition, now what? It could be the driver for the 3D Connections controller itself. It could be the drivers for your USB. Make sure they're up to date, particularly on. You have Vista?
No, I'm still running XP.
Oh, XP is good. Make sure that. The drivers for your video card.
They're up to date, too.
Are up to date.
It has NVIDIA in it, and they're all up to date.
I'm sorry, you faded a little bit. What?
That has an NVIDIA card in it, and that's all up to date. I bought this specifically for running SolidWorks, and the machine's been kind of tweaked for that purpose. And this problem, just I noticed it actually went out. I had
been running the machine with SolidWorks, and I went to let the dog out. I came back, and my machine was locked up.
It's like there was a story we read the other day about his cat that downloaded those bad files.
Yeah, right.
Now, is there, you said you tried two other of the same device.
Yeah, I have. I actually was using what they call a Space Navigator. It's just a little puck. And then I have the larger version, which is the Space Pilot.
And all three of those do the same thing.
Yeah, they all do the same thing. Now, I haven't
and they work fine on another machine.
I haven't just yes, actually, the other machine that I've tried it on is a Vista machine, a desktop, not a laptop. It's just an interesting thing that it started after I installed a Sonic plugin for media player for playing DVDs.
Yeah, it's very possible that it is in some way disrupting the 3D Connections product. That's you know, if it started after you install that, as Dave said, uninstall it and see what happens.
Well, I uninstalled the Sonic plugin
and
didn't use Revo, but I uninstalled it and it hasn't. The problem.
Yeah, but as Dave said, often when you install something, it makes changes to other files and doesn't uninstall those. So it is very possible that that's where your problem lies, and that's a little tougher to find out or to fix. But if you reinstalled that software and then used Revo to uninstall it, is very possible that it will fix it.
The machine works beautifully if I keep the activity on the machine up, you know, if I'm active on the machine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As soon as I let that sit for... It's 2 minutes is the break-off.
Right.
Maybe
idle for 2 minutes.
Maybe right. Check your screensaver. Maybe or your virus scanner. Maybe something else is activating after 2 minutes of idle.
Yeah, check in your power management settings.
Yeah, your energy saver, monitor sleep, computer sleep, screensaver, virus scanner. All of those can be set to activate after idle, and maybe that's what's causing it. That program is conflicting with whatever is new now.
Yep.
Well, I'll try that.
All right.
It's just an interesting thing. I mean,
it is interesting.
My productivity up because I can't leave the machine for more than 2 minutes.
Right, right. Well, yeah, there's that. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Yeah.
That was pretty. That's
weird.
That's pretty interesting. But you're right. It could easily, in a way, if it happens exactly 2 minutes after, it could be something else that's going on in the system. And some people set their screensaver to 2 minutes, whatever, and then that happens. Particularly if you've got one of those 3D screensavers that takes up a lot of memory and a lot of space. You know, there are screensavers that go online and do stuff. There are screensavers that activate your antivirus, right? So it could be that as well. All right, our next caller is Bob. Bob, where are you calling from?
Greece.
Greece, New York.
Yeah, just wanted to thank you guys for the Windows walls. Somehow I got a virus on my machine, and McAfee seemed to know it was there, and for a while I had it under control, but it finally brought the machine to a screeching halt, and I followed your tips and put it in safe mode and ran the software, and boy, it found a bunch of stuff and cleaned it all up, so it works like a charm now.
Wait, are you saying that it worked?
It did work.
Unbelievable. Wow.
Wait a minute. What did I miss?
Apparently, the Windows waltz actually worked for somebody.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bob. I'm delighted that it worked for you.
Well, it was. I'm a pretty have a tough time when things don't work, and when it comes to computers. But having your instructions and those particular pieces of software got the job done. One question I had. When I did it in safe mode, and I found the super spyware and the malware software, and those are the main ones that really clean things up. But I couldn't find Stinger in safe mode, and I don't know what I did or didn't do.
That depends on where you downloaded it to.
Well,
and when you're in safe mode, you can log in as the administrator, which is a different user, or you can log in as your regular user.
Well, I think I'm both. I never really set up an administrator, I don't think.
Yeah, you didn't, but Windows does.
Okay.
So if you downloaded Stinger in your username and then in safe mode logged in as the administrator,
yeah,
it would be on the desktop of the other user. So you have to navigate through all the folders, documents and settings, and the other user to find that other desktop.
Okay. Well, that may be it. The other piece of software showed right up on that, and I thought I'd download them all the same way. But
Well, the other programs have installers, and one of the things the installer does is put an icon on the desktop of each user. Stinger is just a program that downloads. There's no installer, so it lives wherever you downloaded it to.
Okay. All right. Well,
which is probably the desktop
then.
Of the other user.
Yep.
All right. Very good. Well, just wanted to thank you.
Thank you, Bob. It's our pleasure. All right. Our next caller is Michael. Oh, wait. Yep. Nope. Hold on. What?
You got to give me a minute. I got to transfer it over.
Oh, you got to transfer
it
over.
We can't switch calls that fast.
He can't switch the calls that fast. This is one of the things that... that happens here is that we have, we are the very first talk show on Jazz 90.1. And so the setup here is not conducive really to talk shows. And Dave needs about six, maybe seven arms. Although Lori says he seems to have those. I don't know. Anyway, the point is he doesn't have quite enough hands to do it all at once. Michael, are you there?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, where are you calling from?
From Greece.
Greece.
Yep.
Everybody's in Greece today. What's your question?
It's as far as the signal reaches. No, sorry.
I think it's Greece is broader, isn't it, on the internet?
Yeah, yeah, we're on the internet,
exactly.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. The question I got, I just probably drawing a blank here, wasn't sure how to help this person. He's got one of the new Windows Home servers and, you know, one of the little standalone boxes sits on your network and serves out your files and videos and all that. He played around with the firewall settings to the point where he's locked himself out of the little box that doesn't have any video card in it to be able to boot it up. And so now the remote access is dysfunctional and everything. And any other way he tries to log into it or...
So it's like a standalone, like a Buffalo drive. It's a network drive that you're
not
talking about?
Not a network drive, but it's actually got the Windows Home Server, the Server 2003 Home Server software on it.
Oh.
One of those little more sophisticated guys that offers everything to your network.
Erase and reinstall? Yeah.
Is there a hard reset as far as the... Because you're setting up the firewall, which would be something that would be internal to that device. Is there a reset?
No, it's not a typical firewall that would have a reset like our Netgears or Linksys routers would. It's going to have the Windows firewall software on it, I would expect.
Does the computer boot at all?
Well, it does boot, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you can ping it, and it doesn't respond
on
the network.
But he's locked himself totally out of it, so he can't do squat.
It seems to be.
Have you tried turning off the firewall temporarily?
Yeah. You can't get to it.
Yeah, put it back on the network, and it's sitting there on the same IP address that it was.
You might, so you don't mess things up, what I would recommend is if you can go to the web page for that particular manufacturer, see if there's any other folks that have run into this issue, or second, maybe call tech support.
Yeah,
is this
one
that doesn't...
Device,
is this the one that doesn't have keyboard, mouse, video? But it does have a way to use System Restore, right? There's a reset button?
Not that I know of.
I'd read the manual if I were you. I'm pretty sure there's a reset button that does a system restore.
Or, like I say, if he goes to their webpage for that particular manufacturer, there might be questions that have been asked like that.
Right. That's the only other thing I suggest.
Yeah,
but, check to see if there's a reset button or a hole, you know, where you poke a paper clip or whatever.
The idea I had was maybe since Server 2003 is pretty common software that has its own firewall built into the software. I think it's a software firewall versus hardware like we normally think a little device sitting on a network might have.
Right.
But I don't know whether you could get into the Windows firewall software another means.
Unless you can get to it with some sort of SSH, which you probably locked out, or a video card with a monitor and a keyboard.
Right.
Your best bet is to try to see if there's a reset that gives that does a system restore.
And the FAQs would most
and puts it back to that. Yeah.
Well, they give you a CD to recover the software, but
there you go.
There's no CD player in it. There's no.
Well, there's
got to
be somewhere, Michael. Somewhere in the manual, it will tell you how to use that CD.
Probably from another computer on the network.
Right. Yep. So try that.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. I'm sorry. Unfortunately, at some point, it really comes down to read the manual.
Yeah. Without a keyboard and mouse on that computer, you really can't do anything if the remote access is locked out.
Right. Right. And so what it probably does is the restore does it by IP address. Just goes in and has some special code in the IP address. And if you screwed up the firewall that badly, that's the only way you're going to get to it.
But there's got
to
be at least a power button on the computer. Maybe if you hold the power button in for 26 and a half seconds, it launches into its looking for the disk mode.
Well, that's why I say the whatever. FAQs would be the safest place to go
or
check.
Or the manual. It comes with the thing. I mean, I hate to tell people to actually read.
RTFM?
Yeah. Unfortunately, sometimes that's what it's about. Okay. All right, our next caller is Dave. Where are you calling from, Dave?
Rochester. Hey, Nick. It's Dave Ohl from St. Ambrose.
Dave!
Hey, I got a quick question. Have you guys got any particular insight on how to download the Windows 7 test drive? Every time I go to the Windows site, all I get is a little green spinning icon that just stays there for days and days.
I think they stopped.
They stopped doing that.
Yeah. Ah, did they?
You had to have already done it.
What happened was they did the test for months, and then for a couple of... No, that's done. What you can do now is if you're a member of any one of a dozen special organizations like developers and whatever, you can actually download the release to manufacturing version. I actually did that from RIT and have a copy of that. But as far as because the RTM version, the release to manufacturing, the version that will actually be sold is now available, they have stopped doing the test.
Oh, okay. Well, that's an easy answer.
Yeah, and it's nothing you're doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Although
you think they tell you that, but wouldn't you?
Well, you would, wouldn't you? As opposed to just making it stop working.
Yeah, I went to the Windows 7 site. Maybe if you're trying to hit a download from a previous saved link, it's trying to go someplace that doesn't already exist. But when I went to the Get Windows 7 download page, it says it's no longer available.
Okay, I missed that, and I did save the link because it didn't work the last time, so I just saved
there
the link.
There you go.
After I try it again.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. It is an interesting problem when people were very interested in the trial version or whatever it was.
Public beta.
The public beta.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there were...
Well, a lot of folks want to try it because we've been talking about it. We've been saying, I've been running it on one of my machines, and it is rock solid. I mean, older applications, everything just seems to be working very well with it, very pleased with it, has not crashed. I like the other features, like what they call the shake the window.
Yeah.
Where you can sit there and shake a bunch of windows, and it puts them all down on the desktop, shake it again, and it brings them all back up.
Yep. It's all about the eye candy. The operating system itself isn't a whole lot different, but the eye candy is much, much nicer. All right. We are going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we will have a whole lot more sound bites with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Give us a call, 966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. You're listening to Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1, back in just a couple of minutes.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Sonnenberg Gardens and Mansion, presenting Arts at the Gardens Saturday and Sunday, August 22nd and 23rd from 10 to 5 each day. The show and sale is on the grounds of the Sonnenberg Estate in Canandaigua and features art created by 100 artists and craftspeople from the Finger Lakes and throughout the Northeast. The culinary tent will offer Finger Lakes wines, food, and microbrews. There are also tours of the Sonnenberg Mansion and Gardens throughout the day. You can obtain more information by visiting www.sonnenberg.org.
Hi, this is Phil Dodd. Please join me weekdays from noon to 3 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 40 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. How long? Dang nigh on to 20 years. Yeah. And what are we going to do about it?
Let's give away some more tickets.
We're going to have a party.
Told you. We're in the mood to give away tickets. Again, if you're the 10th caller, pick up the phone and dial 966-5299 or 1-800. That's 790-0415. And be the 10th caller to get your tickets to the Soundbites birthday party. We've been talking about it. There's going to be a lot going on, folks. You're not going to want to miss it. So pick up the phone, dial 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415.
And that party will be Saturday, September 5th, just 2 weeks away at the Radisson Hotel, Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester, New York. I'll be there. Dave will be there. Steve will be there. We hope you'll be there. The party's from 11 to 3. We'll be broadcasting live from noon to 2. It's going to be a great time. There's going to be munchies. There's going to be a cash bar. There's going to be a birthday cake. We'll be giving stuff away. It's just going to be party, party, party. Now, here's the important thing to note about the tickets if you win them today or next week. They will have to be picked up at the party itself. So if you win, come to the party with ID, and that's going to be driver's license, or I don't know, birth certificate, or
license should be good.
Anyway. 8 or 10 police officers to vouch for you, or 2 Secret Service agents, or 1 NSA agent, and we will give you your ticket and let you in. But they will be available right at the party. You do not have to go anywhere else to get those tickets. They'll be right here,
and we have a winner.
So don't come to Jazz 901. Don't come anywhere else. Don't look for us at the drugstore or any place. You have to come to the party to get them.
Remember that WKRP episode with Johnny
and,
X?
And wait, and you have to have won them before you can come to the party and claim them.
Yeah.
Don't just show up at the party to claim tickets that aren't yours. Not going to happen.
I'm John Smith. My name is on the list.
Yeah.
Ain't going to happen.
Hey, remember that episode of WKRP where Johnny accidentally gives away the entire prize budget? It was supposed to be $50, 50.00. You missed the point.
Yep.
And and so some guy just showed up and claimed the money. And Johnny said, and when the real guy eventually showed up, he said, well, I was at the bank getting my birth certificate. I didn't think you'd give the money right off the street to anybody who walked in off the street. So Johnny saved the guy from walking away with all the money.
Two greatest lines on television ever. First one, in honor of the birth of our Savior, we ripped a living creature out of the ground and brought you its lungs. And the second one, as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly. Best line on television ever. All right, our next caller, both of them from WKRP in Cincinnati. Our next caller is Dan. Dan, where are you calling from?
The city of Rochester.
The great city of Rochester, New York, hub of civilization in the Western world.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, on this salubrious Saturday.
It is a beautiful day in my neighborhood. What can we do to make you a happier man?
Gentlemen, I'm interested in downloading the Avast antivirus program that you guys recommend on your Security Tango website. I'm not happy with the CA security suite, which I received from Roadrunner. Mm-hmm. I think it's a big horse, and I did call a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned that one of the biggest things I noticed is that the startup jingle for Windows, now it's all broken up. Mm-hmm. You gentlemen said, well, that's really not that big of a deal. It isn't, but I just noticed everything is just not in overdrive. It's like a car that's in third gear but doesn't want to go into overdrive.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to get your opinion, since you did tell people to call in and ask for your opinion. I can go into the CA security suite. I can turn off the firewall and quickly turn on the Windows firewall, and then turn off the antivirus portion of the CA security suite, and already would have had downloaded but not installed the Avast. As soon as I turn off the CA security antivirus portion, I would then activate the Avast program and see how that works
and
for a day. Is that a good idea? How would
Pretty
you guys do it?
The one thing I might do is disconnect from the internet
while
you have, in essence, no protection.
Right. Download it first, uninstall, disconnect from the internet. Then do all of that other stuff.
One thing I would recommend, though, is just like they said, go ahead and download all those programs, put them in a separate folder. One other program that you want to download and install first is Revo.
Revo.
Revo. Revo, then you can then uninstall the CA software with that.
Well, what I'm trying to do is actually just disable CA, compare it to how my machine would start with the Avast antivirus program running and the Windows firewall.
Yeah, well, even if it's not running, CA will load.
Yep.
Oh, it will load.
Yes.
But then
if
I go to msconfig and turn off the... Actually, there's five elements of the security suite.
That would do it.
Five that you can see. There's probably other ones you can't.
Right. Seriously, uninstall it. If you're not happy with it, uninstall it.
My one question is this the only computer in the house?
Yes, it is.
All right, then there's another good product that you can download, which is better as far as the firewall. It's Zone Alarm, and it's free.
Yeah.
So, again, you can, like we said before, download all those products, put them into a folder. You can then uninstall CA.
Well, disconnect from the Internet.
Right.
Then uninstall CA and install Avast and
Well,
Zone
do
Alarm.
Zone Alarm. That'll restart. And then that way, by restarting your machine with Zone Alarm first installed, and then you start installing Avast and, say, Super Anti-Spyware, Malware Bytes.
I have all that stuff already, but I was just, now it's just basically the antivirus program and the firewall.
Really, seriously, download those two pieces, disconnect from the Internet, the three pieces, Avast, Zone Alarm, and Revo.
Okay.
Then
and
disconnect
you say
from
use the
Internet.
Revo program to uninstall the CA security suite and not go into control panel?
Right, but disconnect from the Internet first.
Okay.
Install Revo, use that to uninstall CA, then install Avast and Zone Alarm, and you're on your way. Both of those will want to reboot.
Okay.
But still, that's your best way to do it.
Gentlemen, thank you for your opinion.
You're absolutely welcome. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, that's the one key, though. You know, I found with the that Revo, though, it just does such a better job of keeping things. Because, folks, I had another client that was using a registry cleaner. And I told him, you don't really need that. If you use Revo to uninstall any program, that does a thorough job.
Then your registry doesn't need cleaned.
Yeah, because it keeps out all those remnants. It will look through and find all the things. Because here's the thing, and folks don't realize this, is when they install programs and they use the uninstaller, especially the Windows uninstaller, they install it. It didn't work right. Well, they say uninstall. It doesn't really uninstall it thoroughly. It just turns one bit off in the registry, and the registry is this big. Now, if you reinstall it, it now adds all new entries in the registry, doubling it in size.
Right. And one of the problems that we are constantly preaching about is when you get a new version of Windows, you should install it clean because any problems you have in the registry are doubled or tripled with new versions of Windows. If you use Revo to clean your registry regularly, then you are less likely to have those problems. You're not going to have those problems, but you're less likely to. And Revo will also keep down the amount of space used by your registry, and that's a good thing. Listen, give us a call. In the 585 area code, the number is 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. If you're outside that 585 area code, fret not, for we are here for you, too, at 1-800-790-0415. That's 1-800-790-0415. So give us a call. We are here eagerly awaiting your call. If you're on the web, definitely check us out there. If you're on IRC or whatever, I'm taking tweets at sound_bytes. If they're direct to me.
Oh, one other thing, though, and I got to repeat this because, again, I had another user of the Soundbites forums email me, and they put in their name, nothing in the city and state. The key thing, folks, is if you join the Soundbites forum, at the field where it says, location, put in, say, Rochester, New York. These robots don't know to do that. And that's what I look for. The names, I get all kinds of valid names. They look honest names, but if they don't have a legitimate city and state, I consider it as a robot.
Yep.
That's what the robots do. They'll fill out any field on the form with whatever their spam or junk is.
Right.
And then,
but if you put a legitimate
through,
city
yeah.
and state, it doesn't have to be your city and state. You know, let's pick a city and state every week. If you want to join the forum, this week's city is Denver and the state is Colorado. You don't have to put yours. You just have to put one so that we can differentiate you from the robots. Our next caller is Mike. Mike, where are you calling from?
Rochester, Southwest.
Yeah, the southwest corner of Rochester, New York.
Yeah, here's my situation. I have a laptop that has Vista Ultimate with the Service Pack 1. It's been in service for about 16 months now. Service Pack 2 is out now. So I'm wondering if I should dare try to install that or not.
For the faint heart. Yeah, for the most part, yeah, it won't hurt you.
And just make sure you leave that uninstall option accessible.
Yes, just in case. I mean, here's the thing.
It takes up hard drive space, but so what? Everybody's got more space than they need nowadays anyway.
Like we say, depending on your hardware configuration, what we got, for the most part, it works fine. But there's always going to be that one situation that, you know, it doesn't. So take your time. Okay. Anybody, when they're doing the install, make sure you say yes to, you know, keeping the backup, so you, a restore point, so you can go back just in case.
That's what I want to do. It puts me in mind of when I did XP, because I had that in for about 16 months when Service Pack 2 came along. I loaded that up, and that crashed my system, and I had to reload everything.
Yep.
And after that, I discovered that the only way you wanted to put Service Pack 2 in is if you had just loaded the XP 2 minutes before.
Yeah, that's sometimes the problem with the patches and updates, is that your machine has been running for years, accumulating cruft, and then you load a new patch on it, and one of those hundreds of thousands of files that have been touched in the last 2 years isn't exactly what the updater is looking for, and causes problems.
Yep.
Yeah, because that's going to be the big thing. Even once these folks that are on XP right now, I was looking through that list that you sent me there, Steve, the link, that are going to want to go to Windows 7. You're going to definitely have to do what they call, back up all your data, do a clean install of Windows XP, and then put your other data back.
Right.
So, you know, it's... Backup is...
Well, and I've been already telling people, when Windows 7 comes out, you really want to do a clean install. So do a couple of backups, make sure your systems are backed up, and then do a clean install. It is, and then immediately install the... I'm sure there will be a version of Revo for Windows 7.
Yep. Yes, definitely.
And at that point, install that... And then right from the get-go, your system is as clean as it's going to be.
Well, we also, last night in Second Life, had a few folks asking about different applications.
Is Mike gone? Are we done with Mike?
Yeah.
I'll leave him hanging.
About the folks have Windows 7, and some of the applications aren't working right. Well, yeah, they might not have the drivers out there yet. Now that it's gone to release code, and a lot of these manufacturers have it, they can test out their drivers to make sure that it is going to
work. Well, and I keep telling people, it's a beta. Yes, it doesn't work. That's what a beta means. If something doesn't work, the theory is if you are using a beta, you are savvy enough to figure out why and tell that to Microsoft.
Nah.
That's what it's supposed to be.
And what will happen now is that Windows 7 has been released to manufacturing. Companies are updating their drivers so that if you want to upgrade to Windows 7, check every driver you have in your computer. If you have a name brand computer, go to their website, and they should have a getting ready for Windows 7 update. You may need to download updated drivers for your video, for your Ethernet, for your sound, and all the programs you run. Check to see if they have Windows 7 updates. And if you don't want to do all that, don't update to Windows 7.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Wait for the final code to come out.
Yeah, because, like I say, it's going to be some work there.
Wait for Service Pack 1.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we don't answer questions about beta code, because that's the point behind beta code. It will break. All right, that's it for another week. I really want to thank everybody who called in. Thank you so much for doing so. It's just 2 weeks to the party. In fact, in 2 weeks and an hour, we'll be done with the party. So we're looking forward to it. I hope you are, too. If you haven't got your tickets yet, keep listening to Jazz 90.1. You'll get your opportunity. We are, however, done for another week, so you can't get an opportunity on this show until next Saturday. at noon. For Dave Enright, for Steve Ray, for all the great folks at member-supported Jazz 90.1, I'm Nick Francesco. Thank you so much for listening to the longest-running and greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. We'll see you right here next week.